గురుమిరుందే నా తస్మై శ్రీ గురువే నమః శ్రీ చైతన్యమనుభీస్తాం స్థాపితాం మేన భూతలే స్వయం రూపా గదామయం తదాతి స్వపదాంతికం వందేహం శ్రీ గురు శ్రీయుక్త పదకమలం శ్రీగురు వైష్ణవంశ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతం సహగణా రఘునాథం విత్తం తం సజీవం సాధువైతం సావధూతం పరిజనసహితం కృష్ణచైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధా కృష్ణపాదాం సహగణా లలిత శ్రీ విశాఖామితం హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధు దీనబంధు జగత్పతే గోపేక్షా గోపికాకాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే తప్త కంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి వృషభానుసుతే దేవి ప్రణామి హరిప్రియే వాంఛాకల్పతరువేశ కృపాసింధువైవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః జై శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌరభక్తవృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామో హరే రామో 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ. So thank you for coming for the Sunday feast class. We welcome all of you all. So today we'll be discussing on the topic of humility. This topic of humility, this is a very important subject matter in our spiritual life. Humility means a journey from self-absorption to Krishna absorption. Now what happens usually in our life, we are very self-absorbed. My money, my family, my business, my house. Basically, our life keeps on centering about our own self, hamara swarth. But when we come out from that zone and put Krishna at the center, when we put Krishna at the center and we absorb ourselves in genuine service to Krishna, then that is a journey to humility. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he referred to a particular verse. Like there are so many thousands and thousands of slokas and verses in our scriptures, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he mentioned that one sloka we should wear it around our neck, and that sloka is Trinath Api Sunichena. So important. The full translation of this sloka is as follows. One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of all prestige, and should be ready to offer all respect to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. Now if you analyze this sloka, it's filled with humility. And this is so important that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said what? That we should wear this sloka like a, you know, like a garland around our neck. It's so important. And when we speak of humility, Krishna himself, he showed this quality of humility many, many times. Once during Yudhishthira Maharaj's tenure, Yudhishthira Maharaj wanted to do this Rajasurya Yajna. Rajasurya Yajna, basically Yudhishthira Maharaj wanted to do it so that it would benefit all the whole kingdom, the spiritual life of the people. So this Rajasurya Yajna takes a lot of brahmanas, a lot of wealth, a lot of time, days. So Yudhishthira Maharaj did this. In that, Lord Krishna, he volunteered that he would wash the feet of all the guests who come. Imagine, Lord Krishna, who's Lord Krishna? Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ananda Shesh, through his 10,000 mouths, he's glorifying Lord Krishna through time immemorial. Still he is not finished glorifying the Lord. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, what is he doing? He is washing the feet of all the guests who are coming for this yajna. This shows supreme humility on the part of Lord Krishna. Then, another time, Lord Krishna also, there are many instances where Lord Krishna showed humility. Another time is that when Rukmini, she sent a Brahmin messenger with a particular note. She sent it, she gave this message to the Brahmana and told the Brahmana that please go to Dwarka and give this to Lord Krishna. Basically, her family people had arranged her marriage against her wishes. They wanted her marriage to take with another person. But Rukmini had already given her heart to Lord Krishna. She was requesting the Lord to take her surrender, to accept her. So she had sent a note through this Brahmana to Dwarka to Lord Krishna. So when this Brahmana reached Dwarka and when he was guided to Lord Krishna was sitting on his golden throne. So when this Brahmana came, Lord Krishna himself stood up from his golden throne and he made the Brahmana sit there. Then the Lord washed his feet and the Lord worshipped this Brahmana like how the demigods would worship Lord Krishna himself. Just imagine, so detailed. After Lord Krishna worshipped this Brahmana, and after that the Brahmana was fed very nice prasad, he was made to have his bath, and then he was guided to a particular bed, a very soft bed, to take rest. So when this Brahmana was lying on this bed, Lord Krishna very silently and very respectfully comes and sits on this bed and he takes the feet of this Brahmana and he puts it on his own lap and Lord Krishna starts massaging it. Very, very gently, humbly and with a lot of respect, starts massaging it. Now again, this act of the Lord shows the humility on Lord Krishna's part. Then, once what had happened is the four Kumaras, they had gone to the Vaikuntha planet and at the gate, at the entrance with Jay and Vijay. So Jay and Vijay stopped the four Kumaras from entering Vaikuntha. So the four Kumaras got angry at Jay and Vijay. So Lord Vishnu, who was sitting inside the Vaikuntha planet, he understood ki what there's some problem going at the gate. So Lord Vishnu himself comes at the gate where Jay Vijay and the four Kumaras were there. And Lord Vishnu begs the four Kumaras for forgiveness. Lord Vishnu says that actually these four Kumaras, what they have done, actually I am responsible. So for this behavior of theirs, please forgive me. I beg for your forgiveness. Imagine again Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is asking the four Kumaras to be forgiven. In one sense, he did not do that offense. But still, he takes a humble position and he begs the four Kumaras that please forgive me. This shows the humble quality of the Lord. Then, in his incarnation as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also, showed various examples of humble behavior. Once Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was going to Gaya. On his way to Gaya, he developed very high temperature, very high fever. And it was not going away. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told the devotees who were with him that if you wash the feet of a Brahmana and if you bring me that water, and once I drink that water, my fever, my temperature will go away. So somehow the devotees got hold of a Brahmana, they washed his feet and they got that water and gave it to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu drank that water, his temperature, his fever immediately went away. Again, imagine Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, what he is doing? He is drinking the water that has washed the feet of a Brahmana. Again, taking this act of it shows his humility, the Lord's humility. Then, another aspect of Lord Chaitanya where the supreme humility was shown was that we all are aware that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he wrote only the Sashtashtam verses, the few verses. That's all he wrote. But actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had written a book also. He had written a book and a similar book was written by his friend. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's friend also had written a similar book on the same topic. So when his friend, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's friend, came to know that Nimai Pandit has written a book on the same topic. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's friend understood that, you know, Nimai Pandit is known as a big scholar. Everyone will read his books. No one will read my books. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's friend, he was talking to Nimai Pandit, and he both were discussing. So Nimai Pandit's friend told that, I also have written this book on the same topic. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu understood that my friend, you know, he feels that now since I have written this book, no one will read his book, people will read my book. So what does Chaitanya Mahaprabhu do? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he takes this book which he has written. This is the only book he has written his whole life. He takes that book and throws it in the river. He throws it in the river so that everyone will read his friend's book. This again, imagine, you know, we write one book, it takes us so many months, so much effort, and then we throw it in the river. That shows again detachment. That shows Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not want name and fame for himself. They show that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not want name and fame for himself. He wanted his devotee to be glorified. This again shows supreme humility on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's part. And then, a humble person never shows off. A humble person never shows off. He has a very humble, submissive attitude. Regarding the show business, once what had happened is, there was a small boy. He was in the second standard. So, once in the drawing room, his father was there. His father's 4-5 friends were there. All of them were talking in the drawing room. So, this small boy goes to his father and says, "Daddy, Daddy, can you write with your eyes closed?" The father says, "Yeah, it's a very easy work for me. I can write with my eyes closed. Mera bai hath ka kaam hai." So the small boy tells his father, "Okay, father, now you close your eyes and please sign on my report card." So, you know, the father was a little struck back. So the thing is, you know, if you start showing off, it can sometimes land us up in some embarrassing situations. Always have a humble, service, menial attitude. Then, in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 13, text 8 to 12, in the purport, Prabhupada gives a very beautiful definition of humility. I'll read you the exact sentence. Prabhupada writes, "Humility means that one should not be anxious to have the satisfaction of being honored by others." This is one of the best lines I've ever read. Such a great, profound statement. Basically, in this world, we are always looking after name, fame. We want ourselves to be recognized. But this lands up us in so many embarrassing situations. It gives us a lot of anxiety. Sometimes people do politics just to get name, fame. In this reference, I would like to tell you a story. How when we want name, fame, really can put us in the end in a negative situation. Once there was a tapasvi, very, very austere person. So he went into a cave and he would live inside the cave. And every day the villagers would leave some fruits, some milk outside his cave, and this tapasvi would take that. But this tapasvi would never come out and give his darshan to anyone. But once a year, this tapasvi would come out of his cave and give darshan to all the people. And that day was fixed which day he will come every year. So that day, many people from many, many villages would come and wait for the darshan of this tapasvi. And thousand and thousand people would come. So this kept on happening for many years. So one year when this tapasvi came out of his cave, he saw that there was no one around. So he thought, "Hey, what happened? There are no people around. Usually thousands and thousands of people wait for me." So this tapasvi thought, "Let me wait for another 10 minutes. Maybe people would be coming." So he waited for 10 minutes. Still not a person had come. So the tapasvi, he thought, "Have I come out on the right day outside my cave? Let me go into my cave and see the calculation." Inside his cave, he would make a marking every day, and that's how he would come to know which day he would come out. He went inside his cave, he calculated all the markings, and he said, "Yes, today is the right day, I have come out." But still no one is coming, and half an hour gone, still no one come out, no one has come to take his darshan. So tapasvi was thinking, maybe the villages are maybe very far off. Outside his cave, there was a big tree, very tall tree. So this tapasvi thought, "Let me climb this tree and see how far the people have reached." So this tapasvi with a lot of difficulty, he climbs the tree. And he goes to the very top of the tree. And he's trying to see where are the people, how far have they reached near my cave. And trying to see like that, his leg slipped, he fell down and he died. So just see, the point is, you know, this wanting recognition, wanting name, wanting fame, it can sometimes bring a lot of catastrophe, a lot of disaster in a life. And the thing is, somehow, because of a conditioned nature, we like to take credit, even of things which we have not done. Samjho, office mein koi kuch kaam karta acha se. You know, before that person goes to the boss, we ourselves go to the boss and say, sir, aisa kaam main kar diya hun. We like to take credit. I know of one instance, there were four or five people, I was also there. And one person had done something very good. So he was telling to the senior person that, sir, I did this like that and all. So the person was, his colleague who was sitting side, he told this person, actually I had given you the idea, remember? 10 days back I had told. But later on this person was sharing me, actually that person did not give me the idea. In front of the boss, I did not want to embarrass him. Phokat ka wo apna credit le raha, you know. So the thing is, you know, we, that wanting recognition, wanting name, fame, it is so much ingrained in us. Sometimes unknowingly we do something or tell something wanting name and fame. But we have to understand, even if one drop of respect or fame we want, we'll have to take birth in this material world again. The choice is ours. Just for one drop of fame, name, is it worth coming to this material world? Coming to this material world means birth, disease, old age, death, the three kleshas. Kitna papad bilna padta hai. Sometimes when we do this talk, do this say papad. I don't want to come this material world again. Kitna papad bilna padta hai. Ye kaam, wo kaam, ye problem. So just imagine. Sometimes just for a little name, fame, we try to do politics, we try to manipulate just to get that name, fame. But we have to fight against it. Then, another example in the scriptures is of Uddhavji. Uddhavji, Krishna's, you know, I'm like, best friend. Uddhavji, when he went to Vrindavan, and when he saw the devotion of the gopis, Uddhavji, when he saw the devotion of the gopis, he prayed. He prayed that, my Lord, what did he pray? He prayed that, Lord, let me be born as a grass, so that when these gopis, they step on my head, I will get the feet. I'll get the dust of the feet. Uddhavji did not pray that, Lord, my Lord, let me become like the gopis. Let me have the same devotion like the gopis. If Uddhavji wanted, he could have said, my Lord, let me have the same devotion, how what the gopis have for you. Let me have the same devotion. But no, Uddhavji prays, my Lord, that is a too high thing. Just let me be born as a grass in that area so that the gopis will step on me and I will get their dust. This again shows the supreme humility of Uddhavji. Then, there's a story of Dukhi. In Mahaprakash Leela, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was doing this Mahaprakash Leela, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Abhishek was going on. So there was one devotee, old lady by the name of Dukhi. She would bring Ganges water and keep it just outside the house. And she would always regularly do this, keep on doing this. And she did not want to come inside. She did not want to be in the forefront. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took notice of it. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called Dukhi. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave his mercy to Dukhi and told her that from now onwards, your name will be Sukhi. Now from this Leela, we can understand many things. One thing is that we should not aspire ourselves to be in the forefront. But in the conditioned state, ulta hota hai. We want to keep ourselves in the forefront. Koi aage bhi hota hai na, to usko thel ke hum apne aap ko aage kar dete hai. Just again, how much deep rooted that conditioning in us is. But a genuine devotee of the Lord, he does not want to keep himself in the forefront. He always keeps himself in the background. But as a service to Guru and Krishna, a devotee is willing to take a leadership role to be in the forefront. Why? Not for himself, but as a service. That is the greatest of the Vaishnava. And because he takes this role as a leader or to be in the forefront as a service to Guru and Krishna, because of that, the pride does not touch him. He's aloof from the pride. Then another thing is that humility attracts blessings. We always go to devotees, bolte devotee prabhu ji please aapka blessing do na ye karne ja raha hu, prabhu ji please aapka blessing do na shaadi hone wala hai, prabhu ji aapka blessing do na ye naya business chalu kar raha hu, prabhu ji my 10th exams are coming, please prabhu ji give a blessings na. We always go and ask blessings. But when we have a humble nature, when we have quality of humility, automatically the blessings come to us. A very good example is there in the Mahabharata. Before the Mahabharata war, Yudhishthira Maharaj, he went to the senior, to Dronachar, Kripachar, Bhishmitama, even though they were on the opponent's side. Yudhishthira Maharaj went to them and with a humble service attitude, he took their blessings. And because he, in a very humble way, very respectfully, Yudhishthira Maharaj asked for the blessings, the seniors, even though they were the opponents, from their heart, they gave profuse blessings to Yudhishthira Maharaj. And on the contrary, Duryodhan, he never from his heart ever asked for blessings from the seniors. Never. Because he had that pride in us. And because of the pride, he never got heartfelt blessings of the seniors. Then there is another story of Madhavendra Puriji. Madhavendra Puri, he was a great devotee, pure devotee of the Lord. So once he was crossing Remuna, where Gopinath's deity was there. So when Madhavendra Puriji, he was crossing this area, he came to know that in this temple, in this Gopinath's temple, the devotees make very good quality of sweet rice and they offer it to the Lord. So Madhavendra Puri thought, okay, let me taste this sweet rice. So I will also make the same quality for my deities. But when he thought like this, Madhavendra Puri, when he thought like that, Madhavendra Puri thought, "Arey, the deities have not yet on the bhoga lagai nahi. The deities have not yet had it, and in advance I am thinking of eating myself before the deities having eaten." Madhavendra Puri started condemning himself. "Arey, what type of devotee I am?" Okay, he started cursing himself, and he gave up that idea of wanting to taste that sweet rice. And then Madhavendra Puri, he came under a tree and was just lying down. So the pujari, he offered the sweet rice, and after some time he took out the bhoga and cleaned the altar, and then after some time the pujari went to sleep. When the pujari went to sleep, Lord Gopinath came in the pujari's dream and told the pujari, "You know, when you took the sweet rice, one sweet rice I myself have stolen and kept it at the side of the altar. I have kept it for my devotee Madhavendra Puri. He has come. He is in this village. So you please go on the altar, take that pot of sweet rice and give it to my devotee Madhavendra Puri." So the pujari in his dream, he got up, had his bath, he went on the altar, and really he saw this pot of sweet rice. He thought, "Wow, just see, our Lord had stolen this sweet rice for this devotee Madhavendra Puri." So this pujari, he took that sweet rice, but he doesn't know who is Madhavendra Puri. So he goes in the village shouting, "Madhavendra Puri, where are you? The Lord Gopinath has stolen the sweet rice for you and he's told me to give it to you. Where are you?" So like that, everyone was wondering in the village, who is this Madhavendra Puri, this great devotee for whom the Lord has stolen the sweet rice? Who is this great devotee? So then Madhavendra Puri was under this tree. He heard his name being called out. So with great humility, he went to the pujari and said, "I am Madhavendra Puri." "Oh, you are Madhavendra Puri. Please take this sweet rice. The Lord has stolen it for you." So in a very humble way, he accepted that pot. And then at night, Madhavendra Puri was thinking, now, you know, the whole village has come to know about this, and tomorrow morning everyone will come to me and they'll start giving me a lot of respect, adoration, a lot of, you know, they'll be doing dandas to me and giving me all the respect and fame. But Madhavendra Puri didn't want that. What did Madhavendra Puri do? That night itself, he left that village. Why? Because he didn't want his fame and recognition. Agar hum log rehte the, उधर एक हफ्ते का प्लान रहता है तो दो हफ्ता रहते थे. पीपल थिंक, अरे चलो यार, पीपल आर ग्लोरिफाइंग दिस दैट. बट जस्ट सी, अ जेन्युइन डिवोटी ऑफ द लॉर्ड, ही इज बाय हम्बल, यू नो, ही इज फिल्ड विद ह्यूमिलिटी. ही डजंट वांट नेम एंड रिकॉग्निशन फॉर हिमसेल्फ, ही डजंट वांट ग्लोरी फॉर हिमसेल्फ. ही वांट्स द लॉर्ड टू बी ग्लोरिफाइड, ही वांट्स द डिवोटीज टू बी ग्लोरिफाइड. देन अनदर एग्जांपल of humility personified is Sanatan Goswami. Sanatan Goswami, he is humility personified. There's a very wonderful story about him. Once Chaitanya Mahapuri was staying in Gambhira, in Jagannath Puri. So once Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent a message to Sanatan Goswami, who was staying a little far off, that please tell Sanatan Goswami to come and meet me. It was in the afternoon, mid-afternoon. So when the message reached Sanatan Goswami, so Sanatan Goswami, he left his house and came to Gambira to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And those days, Sanatan Goswami, he would walk barefoot. When he reached to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu noticed Sanatan Goswami's legs and saw a lot of blisters, a lot of burns. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Sanatan Goswami, how come you have this, all these burns and blisters on your leg? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Sanatan Goswami, which route did you take to come to my place? Because there were two routes to come. One was through the hot sandy beach, and the second route was to come through Lord Jagannath's temple that way. So what had happened is, Sanatan Goswami, he took the hot sand beach route. And in Jagannath Puri, if anyone of you all have gone, in summer, in the afternoon, the sand is so hot, you can barely walk for a few seconds. So hot, your legs start burning. But Sanatan Goswami, he took this sand route, his legs burnt. His consciousness was that, I don't want to take the other route which goes through Lord Jagannath's temple. Sanatan Goswami is thinking, if I take that route which goes through Lord Jagannath's temple, Lord Jagannath's pujaris keep on coming out of the temple. And by mistake, if their body touches me, you know, they will get contaminated. Because of that consciousness, Sanatan Goswami took the beach route. Where because of that, his feet burnt. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu understood this. And he embraced Sanatan Goswami and he said, Sanatan Goswami, your humility is, you know, such high level. Then another thing is Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, another supreme example of humility. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, he has written the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Huh? Chaitanya Charitamrita is such a supreme scripture. And Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, such a pure devotee of the Lord, who has written the Chaitanya Charitamrita. He later on tells, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami tells, that, you know, I'm really very fallen. If anyone takes my name also, he will lose all his pious credit. Just see the humility of Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. What is he saying? He's saying that if anyone even takes my name, whatever pious credit he has accumulated in his life, khatam ho jayega, it'll be finished. This is the humility of Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. Actually, the opposite is true. The more we'll think of Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, the more we'll take his name, the more purified we'll become. The more closer to Krishna we'll become. But Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami's heart is, you know, got supreme humility. People who are humble, they genuinely feel themselves very down to earth, very fallen. Then, there's a very nice story during Ramanujan's time. During Ramanujan's time, one of his main disciples was Dasarathi. Ramanujacharya was a very famous pure devotee, a famous acharya who lived in Srirangam in South India. Dasarathi was a very, very great scholar, very big scholar, and he was one of the main disciples of Ramanujacharya. So once Dasarathi, he came to Ramanujacharya and told Ramanujacharyaji that, Gurudev, please explain me the meaning of this verse, Sarva Dharman Paritaja. The translation, the full translation of this sloka is, this is in Bhagavad Gita chapter 18, text 66. The translation of this sloka is, abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. So Dasarathi, he asks his Gurudev that please kindly explain me the real meaning of this sloka. So Ramanujacharya, he paused. And what had happened? At that same time, there was a woman by the name of Atulai. She was the daughter of Mahapurna. This Atulai, this Mataji, she had come to Ramanujacharyaji and told Ramanujacharyaji that, you know, I'm staying in my father-in-law's house. There I have to do a lot of work. Twice a day, I have to walk 2 miles going and 2 miles coming. I have to go to a pond and fetch water and come back. Twice a day I have to do. It's very, very tiring and I have to cook. It's very fatiguing, very tiring. And she was pouring her heart to Ramanujacharyaji. So Ramanujacharya told this Atulai, this lady, okay, don't worry. I will give you a brahmana, Brahman, who will help you? He will help you get the water, who will help you with cooking, who will help you with the kitchen work. And Ramacharya told Dasarathi that you please go with this Atulai Mataji and do all her whatever as a servant, help in the kitchen, get her the water, do the cooking, cut the vegetable, serve her nicely. So Dasarathi, big scholar. Imagine a scholar being told you work like a servant in someone's kitchen. But Dasarathi, he said, okay Guru Maharaj, this is your desire, I will do it. So Dasarathi went with this Mataji to the father-in-law's house, her father-in-law's house. And every day he would go this 2 miles, get water. Twice he would do this. He would cut the vegetables and cook. And like a menial servant, he served this whole family. He did this for 6 months. And no one knew that he is the great Dasarathi. No one knew that. So what happened in that village? There was one preacher who had come and he was giving a lecture on the scriptures. And all the village people were there and Dasarathi was also sitting in the audience. So this person, when he was giving the lecture, that lecture had a tinge of impersonal philosophy. Little impersonal philosophy. So Dasarathi could not tolerate. A pure devotee of the Lord cannot tolerate any impersonalism. So Dasarathi, he got up and told the speaker that, sir, what you are saying is not correct. The explanation is not like that. So the speaker, he told Dasarathi, you are just a cook. You think you can talk on the scriptures? Your place is in the kitchen. Go in the kitchen and work there. But Dasarathi, he kept on talking. And he started quoting slokas left, right and center and analyzing them, analyzing each word. When everyone heard this, even that speaker, he understood, God, this person is no ordinary person. He got down from his seat and he went to Dasarathi and begged him that you please forgive me. I was thinking negative about you. But you must be someone. Who are you? Please tell us who are you, who really are. Then the people came to know that he's the great Dasarathi. Then the people heard, Bob, this, you are great Dasarathi. They started doing dandavats to him. And they asked him, why are you doing this? Dasarathi said, my Guru Maharaj has instructed this. My Guru Maharaj's instruction, that's my life and soul. So the village people said, no, come, we'll take you back to Srirangam. Dasarathi said, no. My Guru Maharaj has ordered me, I will stay here only and serve. So all the elders of the village, they went to Srirangam. They went to Ramacharya ji and told Ramacharya ji, ki your disciple, the great Dasarathi, he is serving like a humble menial servant in this house. Please call him back. He's serving with such humility. He's serving with such humility and such nice seva he's doing. Please, we request you. He doesn't want to come back. Till you don't instruct, he will not come back. So when Ramacharya heard the glories of Dasarathi, that he's doing such service with such humility, Ramacharya himself came with those elders to the village to take back Dasarathi. Then Ramacharya came to that village. He embraced Dasarathi. And he instructed Dasarathi. When Ramacharya saw that he had such great humble quality, then Ramacharya Jari instructed him more further on this verse. So again, the quality of humility, it melts and wins over people. Then, in reference to Ramacharya, Ramacharya's guru was Sri Shailapurna. So once Ramacharya ji, he was on his way to Tirupati. So when he was on his way to Tirupati, his Guru Maharaj, Sri Shailapurna, came to know that Ramacharya is coming. And Ramacharya had already become a very famous devotee and everyone knew he is such a pure Vaishnava. So his Gurudev himself came midway to greet Ramacharya. So when Ramacharya saw his Gurudev coming, he did full dandavat. And his Gurudev said, I came to greet you. So Ramacharya said, Gurudev, why you had to walk so many hours to come and greet me? You could have sent some neophyte devotee. To greet me. Then his Gurudev said, actually, I looked for the most neophyte devotee. But I could not find anyone more neophyte than me. That is why I have come myself. Now again, just see, Sri Shailapurna, pure devotee of Lord. But his heart, pure Vaishnava, he doesn't feel himself, he's better than anyone. In fact, sometimes when we start doing bhakti, when we start chanting, and when we are going with a beat bag on the road, and we see someone smoking and that, doing something, we say, hey, I'm better than him, you know. We sometimes have this. But acharas train us that we should not feel ourselves we are better than even the most fallen. We should think we are more fortunate. We should not feel ourselves that we are better than even the most fallen. A Vaishnava feels he is more fortunate than others because I have got Guru's mercy, I have got the devotional service. So, Sri Shaila Pun, just see, being the Guru of Ramachacharya, such humility he had. Then, Prabhupada ji, he mentions that Dhruva Maharaj, because of Dhruva Maharaj's devotion, Dhruva Maharaj went to the spiritual world. So, when Prabhupada ji was mentioning this point, Prabhupada ji mentioned that I also pray that one of my disciples also becomes a great devotee like Dhruva Maharaj, and because of that disciple's spiritual strength, I will be also allowed entry in the spiritual world. Again, Prabhupada's humility. Prabhupada is such a pure empowered acharya, but still, the heart of Prabhupada, what he is saying? I wish that one of my disciples become a great devotee, an elevated devotee like Dhruva Maharaj, and because of that devotee, I'll be allowed entry in the spiritual world. This is the humility of Prabhupada. Another example of Srila Prabhupada, and regarding Prabhupada's humility, we could speak for hours and hours. Another example is Prabhupada ji, he wrote so many books. His contribution to this world is so many books he's written. Prabhupada would stay awake midnight till 1, 2 and write the books. But Prabhupada said, I have not written these books. Krishna has written it through me. Prabhupada did not take the credit for himself. He gave the credit to Krishna. So a genuine devotee of the Lord, he doesn't want himself to be glorified. He does not want to keep himself in the center. He wants to keep Krishna in the center. In this reference, once what had happened is, when Prabhupada had come first time with his Western disciples, and there was Kumbh Mela. So Prabhupada went there, and Prabhupada also some of his Western disciples went to the Kumbh Mela. This is many, many years back. So in that time, in the Kumbh Mela, whenever that Sai Snan date was there, and Prabhupada went, Prabhupada's disciples went, they took the bath. And then in the evening, Prabhupada was discussing with his disciples about Kumbh Mela. So some of the disciples of Prabhupada said, they said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, today the Sai Snan, when the Sai Snan was happening, when we were going, we saw that there were many other spiritual organizations. Those spiritual organization groups, they were coming with the leader. But the leader was sitting on an elephant. And the disciples were walking around the elephant. And the leader was sitting on the elephant for the Sai Snan. So the disciples told Prabhupada, Prabhupada, next time when we come for Kumbh Mela, we'll also get an elephant for you. So Prabhupada smiled. Prabhupada said, yes, get an elephant. We'll put Radha Krishna on the elephant and we'll take them for the Sai Snan. Everything's meant for Radha Krishna, nothing for me. Again, see, a pure devotee Lord, humble devotee Lord wants to put Krishna, Radha Krishna in the center, not themselves. Then, another example of supreme humility is that of Haridas Thakur. Now, we know of Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur, such a great devotee of Lord, he is referred to as the Nam Acharya. There are so many stories about him. Such a great elevated Vaishnava. But Haridas Thakur, what is his prayer? Haridas Thakur prays that, my dear Lord, let me be born as a dog outside a devotee's house so that I will get the food remnants thrown by the devotee. Just see, this is the heart of a genuine devotee. India mein to aapko malum na kutta ka kya halat hai. Chote bache to patthar stick leke bhagte hain. You know, the dog, what is the dog treated in India? Well, in abroad, it's a different story for the dogs. You know, they have dog parlor, dog psychiatrist and all that. But when Haridas Thakur is saying this, he is seeing the dog scenario in India. So Hridayas Thakur is saying, let me be born as a dog. Imagine, we as devotees, at least to me, I've never thought of being born as a dog. But Hridayas Thakur is saying, let me be born as a dog. But let it be outside a devotee's house, so that I will get the remnants, the food, which is, you know, left over by the devotees. And Hridayas Thakur, when thought this way, Hridayas Thakur, he was thinking himself, I am asking too much. ये बड़ा हिट हो गया और हाँ, imagine, एक तो Hridayas Thakur is praying that let me born as a dog, outside devotees out, but after praying like that, Hridayas Thakur is telling himself, I am asking for too much. I mean, just see the heart of a genuine Vaishnava. It gives tears to eyes to hear such humility. In this material world, even the best poet in this material world, it's beyond his imagination to even write such things about humility. Then, another example of humility is that of Narottam Das Thakur. Narottam Das Thakur, he was a prince. He left that great mahal, palace, that kingdom, and he came to Vrindavan. He left everything. He just put on simple clothes and he came to Vrindavan to live a life of a Vaishnav. And he approached Loknath Goswami. Loknath Goswami was a pure devotee of the Lord. And Narottam Das Thakur, he requested Loknath Goswami that please kindly accept me as a disciple, kindly give me diksha. But somehow Loknath Goswami, he was not giving any initiation to anyone. Somehow he was not initiating anyone. So Narottam Das Thakur understood. But Narottam Das Thakur would stay in the same area and he would do his bhajan, sadhana. And every morning, when Loknath Goswami, in the morning after getting up, he would go outside and respond to nature. He would, respond to nature, evacuate. But whenever Loknath Goswami would in the morning reach that same place to do his nature's call, he would find that place always clean, very clean. Basically, what was happening is, Narottam Das Thakur, before Loknath Goswami would get up early in the morning, Narottam Das Thakur would get up more earlier and he would go to that place where Loknath Goswami would come to respond to nature's call, and with his own hands he would clean that area. Imagine a prince doing this. We even as sadhakas, we are trying. I doubt how many of us will do like this. But a prince, Narottam Das Thakur, with his own hands, he was cleaning this every day. So Loknath Goswami is wondering, every day I come here, every day so clean. He's wondering, who is doing this? So one day, Loknath Goswami himself thought, today I'll get up much earlier and I'll hide around the bushes and I'll see what happens, who comes. So Loknath Goswami got up that day very early and hid near the bushes to see who's coming or what happens. Then he sees Narottam Das Thakur coming. And Narottam Das Thakur goes to that place and starts cleaning all this dirt, everything. When Loknath Goswami sees this, Loknath Goswami comes out of his bushes and goes to Narottam Das Thakur and says, Narottam, what are you doing? You are a prince and you are doing such low work. Why are you doing this? Narottam Das Thakur, he didn't have any, he just bowed on his head in just humility. Then Loknath Goswami, his heart melted seeing this humility of Narottam Das Thakur. Then Loknath Goswami told Narottam, okay, I will accept you as my disciple, I will give you diksha. And then Loknath Goswami, he had only one disciple in his whole life, that was Narottam Das Thakur. Now here again, humility won over. Humility conquered the heart of Loknath Goswami, which otherwise, Narottam Das Thakur may not have got initiation. But because of his humble behavior, and Narottam Das Thakur, he did not do this act so that, okay, let me show how humble I am, so Loknath Goswami will see one day, he will understand my humility, and maybe he'll give diksha. No, Loknath Goswami never had this idea at all. He just wanted to serve his Gurudev in a humble way. This is the humility of a Vaishnav. Okay, then, now another question is, how do we develop this quality of humility? How do we develop? This is the million dollar question. Another the way we develop this quality of humility is just now we are not humble. We are conditioned. We are sadhakas. We have been, you know, born and brought up with 100% pride, with 100% conditioning, you know, of wanting name, fame. But now as sadhakas, we understand that this pride is wrong. We have to develop this quality of humility. So how do we develop? We develop by, as an austerity, we take a humble position. I repeat, we develop this quality of humility that by, as an austerity, we take humble position. Sometimes someone tells us some insulting thing. Man karta hai ki usko do de de wapas. Do kya? Kabhi kabhi man karta hai ek darjan de de usko. But as an austerity, we should keep quiet. As an austerity, we should take a humble position. And at the same time, we should do our sadhana nicely. It is not that, as an austerity, we take a humble position, but hamara sadhana sikshar ko gaye. Nahi, our sadhana means we should be regularly chanting every day, very sincerely. We should be associating with devotees. We should be reading Prabhupada books every day, coming for satsang very regularly. So combine both. As an austerity, we should take a humble position. And second, we should do very good sadhana. When we combine this, then we develop this quality of humility. And it is not that, you know, one day suddenly we get up in the morning and we find ourselves very humble. Nay, Krishna can do anything, yes. But if we just keep on hoping ka ek din main uthu aur ekdam maina ke paas jaau to dukh mein bahut humble ban gaya. Krishna can do it. But if we just hope for this, ujla baal aayenge, baal jhad jayenge bhi, daant bhi jhad jayenge, mar bhi jayenge aur shayad ye change nahi hua hoga. Better we do our sadhana, better we follow the sadhana mark. And then if Krishna wants to give the supreme mercy, he'll give it any time. Better we, no, there are two types of mark. Basically, there's a kripa. One is that we get the mercy through kripa and through sadhana. Basically, we are sadhakas. We are doing our sadhana, chanting, associating with devotees, reading the scriptures. Through this, we purify ourselves. So we have to put effort to develop this quality of humility. This humility quality apne aap nahi aayega. We have to work for it. And you know, one of the very good place, a training ground for this humility, you know where it is? One very good place, a very good training ground for humility is our own homes. Ghar pe. Especially with husband and wife. You know, we husband and wife have sometimes so many quarrels. Sometimes we make a mistake, there's a fight, but we don't want to tell sorry. Sorry bolna nahi chahte. But take humble position. Arre bhai, ye janam sorry nahi bolna hai, to kya bar bar aane ka hai? Janam mrityu. How many more births we have to keep on taking? Better take a humble position. Wife ko, husband ko, haath jod ke sorry bol do. Par wo bhi sorry nikalta nahi. Especially husband and wife. Agar wife kuch galti kar di ya husband kar diya, malum hai ki I have done the mistake. But still us sorry nikalta nahi. Imagine, itna conditioning hai ghar pe. Kyun sorry bolu? Mere saath bhi hota hai. Par kya, you know, but I do one strategy. I know, sorry nikal hi nahi raha hai. Sorry bolne ka hai, but still muh se nikal hi nahi raha hai. Fir main apne degrees ke aage jata hu, bhagwan ke saath haath jodta hu. I said, my lord, help me. Give me the strength to at least say sorry to my wife. And believe me, whenever I prayed, success is 100% guaranteed. That is the power of prayer. That is the power of prayer. Again, so again, take a humble position. I'm not humble, but at least sometimes when you act also, Krishna rewards you. So aap log seekh lijiye, agar humble banna hai, ghar ek bahut acha training ground hai. Then what happens is, sometimes we pray to the Lord, Bhagwan, Lord, please make me humble. Please give me the quality of humility. Fir sham ko, you know, some God brother or someone, he humbles us or he tells us some statement jo humko acha nahi lagta hai. Fir hum usko wapas retaliate karte, we fight back. Arre, subah hi hum Bhagwan se kya prarthna kiye the? Lord, make me humble. Give me the quality of humility. The Lord is sending. But we are retaliating. So I told you, it's not that Bhagwan aapko ek din pehle aake aise nahi bolenge. Dekh Srivas Thakur, you have prayed for humility, na? Tomorrow someone will come at 12 o'clock in the afternoon and he will humiliate you. That is for your purification. Bhagwan aisa ke nahi karne wale. We have to understand Krishna's signal. When we have prayed to the Lord to give us quality humility, and the next day someone humbles us, someone tells a very karwa statement to us, we should read Krishna's signal. We should understand, yes, kal Bhagwan se prarthna kiya, aaj Bhagwan ne ye diya. Thank you, my Lord. We should read Krishna's signals. And ek bar once what had happened is, ye Akbar Birbal ka time mein. Once Akbar, on a paper, he drew a big line. And he told all his ministers that I want this line to be made smaller, but you cannot cut it or you cannot rub it. So all the ministers started scratching their head. Arey bhai, Akbar ji to kabhi kabhi googly phek dete. How to, without rubbing or cutting, how can you make this line small? Akbar, you know, always he would put such questions. Then in Akbar kingdom, kon the? Birbal. Birbal was the most clever. Birbal said, yes, Saab ji, main kar dunga. So that paper was there. Birbal, he took the pencil. And in front of that line, he drew a bigger line. When he drew a bigger line, automatically the first line became smaller. Now why did I tell the story? It has some relation with humility. Aap log sochenge ki Akbar Birbal kidhar se aa gaya humble mein. It has a lesson for humility. The lesson is that when we associate with senior devotees, when we associate with mature devotees, senior devotees, we will feel humbled. There will be some chances of we learning some humble lesson. So associate with senior devotees. In the association, we will learn humility. And another thing is, say if suppose some person is a little poor, and one person gives him, and that poor person, he has a desire to wear a watch. Then one rich person, he comes to him and gives him 1,000 rupees and says, you can buy a watch if you want. So this person goes, nearby watch shop is there, he buys a watch and wears it and comes near the rich person. And both are discussing. And the person, the poor person who is wearing the watch, his friend comes and he sees the watch in his friend's hand and says, wow, what fantastic, very good watch. Now if this poor person, if he has some reverence, some respect for the rich person, he would tell to his friend that ye watch, ye jo rich person hai, uske kripa se hai. It is because of this rich person's mercy, I have got this watch. It is not because of my power. In the same way, when we have some good qualities, if we can give good slokas, if we can do this work so nicely, do that seva nicely, do deity dressing so nicely, if we can give a class so nicely, whatever material or spiritual qualities we have, we should understand it is not mine. It has been given as donation from Krishna. It is not mine. We have to understand it is donation from Krishna. Ulta, hum apne aap ko credit dete. Kuch acha hota hai, main kya? You know, just your conditioning. We have to understand that whatever qualities, material, spiritual, which we have, has come from Krishna. And Krishna can take it back anytime. Then, there's a statement once that Krishna can make a hero person to zero and a zero to hero. So we should not think, "Arey, you know, I'm a hero." Agar hum sochne chalu ke main hero hoon, zero aapka naseeb mein bahut jald likha hai. So always understand whatever qualities I have is because of Krishna and give the credit to Krishna. And another thing in science, मैं अपने जब क्लास 10 में था थोड़ा साइंस याद है तो the principle of magnetism. In magnets, in science, there's a theory that similar poles repel and opposite poles attract. Magnet पे एक नॉर्थ पोल होता है साउथ पोल होता है. थियरी जो साइंस स्टूडेंट्स हैं आप लोग को मालूम होगा राइट. सो क्या होता है, वी हैव टू अंडरस्टैंड that Krishna is the supreme hero. Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. Everything is meant for Krishna's satisfaction. Everything is meant for Krishna's glory. पर हम कभी कभी अपने आप को एक छोटा हीरो मान लेते हैं. थोड़ा छोटा हीरो. अगर हम अपने आप को भी हीरो मान लेंगे तो यू नो लाइक पोल्स क्या होगा, इट विल रिपेल. लाइक पोल्स विल रिपेल. पर अगर हम छोटे हीरो को अपना थोड़ा एटीट्यूड बदल देते, If suppose we take a humble Milan attitude, we understand, arey bhai, Krishna is the supreme hero. Main to zero ka zero, zero bhi nahi, main zero ka zero. We take that attitude, we take a humble attitude. We feel ourselves that, you know, actually I'm nothing, I'm worth nothing. I'm made up of Krishna's mercy. When we take that humble attitude, when we go that low, if we're negative or positive, then Krishna's mercy will attract us. Yeah? Negative ko kya? Positive attract karega na? Huh? So, when we have this humble attitude, this low attitude, the automatic Krishna mercy will attract us. Huh? So, always, we should have this humble attitude. Then, there's another very wonderful story of Gopal Bhatt Goswami. Gopal Bhatt Goswami, such a pure devotee of the Lord, such a pure heart he had. So, once he was staying in Vrindavan, so he took, on foot, he went to Nepal, to the Gandaki River. Huh? Shaligram Shila, you get it in Gandaki River in Nepal. So Gopal Bhatt Goswami, he took this many weeks of walking and he went to Gandaki River. And there he got 12 Shaligram Shilas with him, 12. Then he took them and he came to Vrindavan. He took this long, many weeks of walking back to Vrindavan. He thought he would come to Vrindavan and worship them. But when Gopal Bhatt Goswami, he reached Vrindavan, he started thinking to himself, "Arey, actually I'm so low. I'm not fit to worship Shaligram Shila. I'm not fit. I'm not worthy of worshipping them." This was his attitude. Just see. Then what he does, Gopal Bhatt Goswami, he takes all those 12 Shilas and starts walking back again to Nepal, to Gandaki River. And it's not just one day walk. It's many, many weeks walk, bare feet. And there's a lot of hardship in taking that journey. But Gopal Bhatt Goswami took that journey. Why? He thought, let me go and put it back in the Gandaki River. I'm not worth worshipping the Shaligram Shilas. That was his attitude. And when he went to Gandaki River, he took those Shilas and he told the proper mantras and he put it back in the Gandaki River. He had gone half water, you know, knee deep in the water, and he put the Shilas back in the water. And the Shilas went back in the water, the Shilas jumped back in his hand. The Shilas, when Gopal Bhatt Goswami put the Shilas in the water, the Shilas jumped back in his hand. The Gopal Bhatt Goswami, what's happening? He put the Shilas back again in the Gandaki River. Again the Shilas jumped back in his hand. Again it jumped back. So then, because the Shilas wanted to be worshipped by Gopal Bhatt Goswami. So then Gopal Bhatt Goswami understood, that is the Lord's plan that I worship them. Then he took it and went back to Vrindavan. And we know that one of these Shilas later became Radharamanji. Again, through this story, there are many lessons we can learn. One is the humility of Gopal Bhatt Goswami. He felt himself unworthy of worship when he was the most worthy to worship them. Then, once what had happened during Jaidev Goswami's time. Jaidev Goswami, a pure devotee of the Lord, he was staying in Bengal. And the king of Bengal at that time wanted to meet Jaidev Goswami. But the king understood that if I go as king there, Jaidev Goswami will not meet me. Because usually the saints, the sages of previous time, they would not like to meet kings because they knew that kings deal in opulence and a lot of, you know, opulence is there. So they would normally avoid meeting kings. So, but the king of Bengal, he wanted to meet Jaidev Goswami. He wanted to have Jaidev Goswami's darshan. So the king thought, okay, what I will do is, I will wear a very simple dress. I will go as a simple person and meet Jaidev Goswami. So the king, he put on very simple dress. And alone, he went to meet Jaidev Goswami. So when he came in front of Jaidev Goswami, and he was talking to Jaidev Goswami. Jaidev Goswami, pure devotee of the Lord. He could detect, you know, if anything is unnatural. So Jaidev Goswami understood. And he told this king that you don't seem to be a common, normal person. You don't seem to be a person the way you're dressed. You're dressed very simple, but you don't seem to be a simple person. Please tell me your true identity. And when a sage says this something, you can't lie to him. So this king, he told that, yes, actually, I am the king. I wanted to meet you. That's why I come like that. Then Jaidev Goswami became very upset. And told this king, you please immediately leave from here. I don't want to talk to you. So the and Jayadeva Goswami said, I will immediately leave your kingdom and go to another place and start staying. So the king, he apologized. The king said, please forgive me for my this mistake. I beg of you, please forgive me. The king took a very humble position and said, beg for forgiveness. And the king said, okay, since you have made up your mind, you will leave my kingdom and go to another place. At least allow me to build a small place for you to stay wherever you go. Please at least allow me that. And the king told with a very humble attitude. So then Jayadeva Goswami saw this whole thing, the humble attitude of the king and the king's approach and the mood of the whole thing. Then Jayadeva Goswami told the king that actually I got angry at you just to test you. But you are very humble. Because of your humble disposition and your attitude, I will stay in your kingdom. And I will stay wherever you make a place for me and you can come and meet me anytime. This again, humility won over. Another thing is that a humble person is always grateful. A humble person is always grateful. Humble person say if something wrong happens to him, a humble person what he feels? Arey, actually more wrong was supposed to happen. Mere paas mere tuko aur takleef hone wala tha, par Bhagwan ne yahi thoda takleef deke khatam kar diya. Whereas a pride person he feels, arey, Bhagwan ne kai ko diya, mei mila tha kya Bhagwan ko dene ko? Sometimes you know, we say like that. But a humble heart, a humble person, he always have a feeling of gratitude. He's always grateful. And a combination of, you know, when a person has this humility and gratefulness, that person is always content in life. In today's world, to find people content, very rare. 100 mein ek nahi, 1000 mein bhi ek nahi milega, maybe lakh mein bhi shayad nahi milega. A content person, very rare to find a content person in life. But when a person has this combination of humility and gratitude, he's always content. A very nice example is that of Sridhar Kolavej. Sridhar Kolavej, in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time, he would sell banana leaves. And whatever little money he would get, he would use half that money to worship Ganges. Imagine how much money would you get by selling banana leaves? Hardly anything. But jo bhi milta tha, 50% he would use to worship Mother Ganges. And 50% for himself. His hut, it had so many holes on the roof that during rainy season, his house, it would always be leaking. And Sridhar Kolavej would be sitting in a corner of his hut and taking the names of the Lord. His clothes were so torn. Wherever, if a place would be torn, he would tie a knot. Idhar bhi phat gaya, idhar bhi knot. Idhar phat gaya, idhar bhi knot. His clothes looked more knotted than the clothes. He was, you know, that was his level of, you know, the way he was living. But he was so content. He was so happy in life. So happy. In fact, once when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with his very close associates were doing kirtan, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told his associates that one of my devotees, Sridhar Kolavej, please get him also. So the devotees are wondering, who is this Sridhar Kolavej? They have not heard about him before. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the direction. You go this place, that place, you will find that hut. And from that hut, when you hear the name of the Lord, understand that is Sridhar Kolavej's hut and he's taking my name. So the devotees, like that, they finally reached Sridhar Kolavej's hut and they understood Sridhar is inside. So the senior devotees, all they went and told Sridhar Kolavej, the Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is calling you. When Sridhar heard that, he became unconscious that my Supreme Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is calling me. It was too much for him. Behosh ho gaya udari. My Lord called me. So, usko behosh halat mein the devotees had to carry him to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Imagine, that was the level of Sridhar Kolavej. So content, so blissful in life. Why? Because he had that quality of humility, the quality of gratefulness, the quality of devotion in his heart. A humble person has the feeling of gratitude for the Lord, like we mentioned. A humble person always has that feeling of gratitude to the Lord. And a person who is grateful to the Lord, he will always be content in life. In reference to this gratefulness, ek story, there was a train. In that train, there were around 7-8 passengers traveling. So, after a few hours, in that one of the passengers was a very big wrestler. The side of the wrestler was a thin man. So, after a few hours of travel, the thin man, he asked the wrestler,
ki, bhai sahab, what is the time?
The wrestler, he looks at his watch, and then he gives a big hard hit on the thin person's head. One, tong! And after hitting him once, the wrestler says, 1 o'clock. So the guy, thin guy's got hit, you know, he's just closing his eyes, you know, and thinking. So the other passengers tell this thin person, what are you thinking about so much? So this person who got hit, he's saying, actually, you know, I'm very grateful to the Lord. I'm thanking the Lord that 1 hour back, I didn't ask this wrestler the time. Ek ghanta pehle puchta tha to kya? 12, 12 mukkas milta tha. So this thin person is saying, I'm grateful to the Lord. I'm thankful to the Lord that 1 hour back, I didn't ask this wrestler the time. I'm thanking the Lord. So when you have that quality of gratefulness heart, even if in a negative situation, you will see positive. In today's world, the conditioned people in a positive situation also, wo log negative dekhte. There's a nice thing I read once. Difference between God and human is that God gives and forgives, but humans gets and forgets. Just see the quality of, you know, we are lacking that quality of humility. Kritagta hai nahi hamare dictionary mein. Then there's another very nice story. During Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would have a kirtan at the devotee's house, and sometimes kirtan would go very late at night. So there was one, and very few close associates were allowed to take part in this kirtan, in these houses of the devotees. So once there was one brahmana, very austere brahmana, he would only drink milk. So he requested Srivas Thakur. The kirtan usually would happen in Srivas Thakur's house. So this brahmana, he went to Srivas Thakur and requested Srivas Thakur that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does kirtan with all of you all. Just allow me for some time to watch Chaitanya Mahaprabhu doing kirtan. Just allow me to be in a corner of your house. I'll just hide and see. So Srivas Thakur, you know, very humble by nature. Srivas Thakur didn't want to displease any people. So he thought, he said, okay. He said, okay, come. So this brahmana, he was in the house in the corner. And that night, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all the devotees came. And they started doing kirtan. When they started doing kirtan, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu after some time told Srivas, today I'm not feeling that ecstasy. Is there someone in the house who should not be there? So Srivas Thakur became alert. So Srivas Thakur told the Lord, Lord, there are no atheists in the house. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, there must be someone who should not be here. So Srivas Thakur said, my Lord, there's one brahmana, he's very austere. He drinks only milk. He wanted to have to watch your kirtan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, that brahmana, a milk drinking brahmana, immediately get him out of the house. Where is he? So from the corner, that milk drinking brahmana, he came out. So with a lot of, you know, humility, and he started walking out of the house. But this brahmana, when he was walking out of the house, he had gratefulness in his heart. He was feeling grateful to the Lord and the devotees that at least for a few seconds, I was allowed to watch the Lord. I was allowed to watch the Lord doing kirtan. At least for a few moments, I was allowed to watch this kirtan a lot. And he was feeling very grateful about it. And he was walking out. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Paramatma in everyone's heart. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu understood that this brahmana, he's walking with the quality of gratefulness. He's feeling grateful in his heart. In spite of my chastising him, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called him back. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him his mercy. Again, why? Again, the quality of humility, the quality of gratefulness, these things attract Lord Krishna. Then there is another wonderful story of Vasudev Leper. Vasudev Leper, he stayed in a place called Kurumachetra. And at night, Vasudev Leper, his whole body, basically, it had so much leprosy. Worms would be falling from his body. And Vasudev, and he was such a pure devotee, Lord, such compassion. If the worms would drop down, he would pick up the worms and put it back in his body. He thought, at least let the worms eat something from my body. At least my body will be of some use to these worms. That was the attitude. That was the compassion of Vasudev. So Vasudev ji, at night he came to know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come. So next day in the morning, Vasudev, he went to Kurma Brahmanan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was staying at a Brahmin's house whose name was Kurma. So when in the early in the morning when Vasudev went to Kurma Brahma's house, he came to know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has left. When and Vasudev, he wanted to have darshan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When he came to know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has left, he became unconscious. And he started lamenting, he started feeling himself, oh God, I'm such unfortunate. I was going to have the darshan of my loving Lord, but I missed that. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Paramatma in everyone's heart as Paramatma, you know. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he had reached already a distance, he understood, ki my dear devotee Vasudev Dutt, he is feeling this lamentation. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came back to that place. And when he saw Vasudev Dutt, Vasudev leper, he embraced Vasudev. And when he embraced Vasudev, the leprosy, all that rotten flesh went away. And Vasudev got a very nice body. And all the devotees were seeing this miracle. And Vasudev saw this also. And then Vasudev, he did dandavat to the Lord and he was so grateful to the Lord. Now, just see the attitude of Vasudev. After Vasudev got this body, nice body, Vasudev told the Lord, "No, my Lord, now you give me your mercy. I will start becoming proud that I've got your mercy. And if I become proud, what's the use of my living? Now I'll start becoming proud that I've got your mercy, my Lord. Please help me." So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Vasudev that you do two things. You always constantly chant the holy name of the Lord, and wherever you go, you preach about Lord Krishna. If you do these two things, then pride will never catch you. And very soon, Krishna will call you back in his eternal abode. So again, we have to learn the two things. We should always constantly chant the holy name of the Lord. And whenever we get an opportunity, we should always glorify the Lord, preach about the Lord. Okay, like humility works everywhere. Huh? Even in humility works on the spiritual level, it even works on the material level also, humility. I'll give you two examples. It happened with me. Yamuna Mataji, who's Srila Prabhupada's disciple, she's such a great Vaishnava. Now she's left her body. So many years back, she had come to Bhaktivedanta Hospital. And I worked there in the purchase department. So when Yamuna Mataji had come to Bhaktivedanta Hospital, she was going through some medical treatment. And she had to be given a machine which would help in her breathing. So since I was in the purchase department, I was told to coordinate for this machine and arrange for Yamuna Mataji. So I coordinated and arranged for this machine. But in this machine, the filters had to be regularly changed. In the machine, there was a place where you had to regularly change the filters. The filters would get dirty and from time to time you would change the filters. And this filters, only it was a monopoly. Only this company manufactured. It was a medical grade filter. And you could not get anywhere except from this company. So when the machine came, very few filters were there. So Yamuna Mataji got the machine, got the filters. And then Yamuna Mataji left for USA. And Yamuna Mataji told me, okay, that after some few days, you please send the more filter stock for me because this filters will get over. And after around 4 days, there was one devotee from Bombay who was leaving for the USA. So Yamuna Mataji told me through that devotee, after 4 days, you send the balance filters. I said, okay. So I was in a senior position in my purchase department. So I rang up the manager of this company. I told him, I require these filters. So he said, sir, it's out of stock. I said, when you'll get it? He said, sir, it'll take maybe another 3 weeks. I said, no, you can't. I require those filters. I have to send it abroad. He said, no, sir, it's not possible. It's out of stock. There's some problem with the raw material of that. Because of the problem with raw material, we are not able to manufacture those filters. So it's a, I understand the manager said that's a difficult solution, but sir, in 3 weeks, we'll be able to give you. But I thought, God, Yamuna Mataji's filters are going to get over. How is she going to use that machine? So in the management books and in the management seminars, whatever is taught, showing carrot, I showed him carrot, I told him, okay, in future there will be many machines order will give you. I used carrot, but that was also not working. I started becoming a little assertive, that was also not working. So I started a little threatening also. I said, I will take this matter to your director also. That manager said, sir, the director will refer this matter to me only. I'm the sole in charge for this product and this filter. So whatever is in the management books and management seminars, I use that. Showing carrot, threatening, assertive, everything. Kuch kaam nahi kar raha tha. Nothing was working. But I thought, my Yamuna Mataji, we know who's Yamuna Mataji. We want to please her at any cost. I said, then, you know, I was talking on the phone to this manager. I somehow wanted those filters.
I said, let me use one, the supreme weapon of humility. I said, let me use this word, Trinadapishma. So in the end, I told that manager, I told him, see, if you want, I will come to your office and I will polish your shoes. And see, I'm not humble, but somehow Krishna empowered me with quality of humility for a few minutes. I told this manager, if you want, I will come to your office and I will polish your shoes, but I need those filters. So that manager, he knew I was in a senior position. He said, Arre, sir, don't say that, don't say that. Give me some time, let me see, let me see. Within 2 days, he sent those filters to me. So the thing is, humility, it works everywhere. On the material level also, on the spiritual level also. And another thing, this another experience of mine, you know, where humility, it works. Like, this is another reverse situation in the hospital. Once some medical item was required, I had placed the order. But the, some of the executive, he had told me he'll give in 7 days. But 7 days finished, 8 days ho gaya, nine days ho gaya. But still he had not given. I was following up with him, you know, somehow. And it was not coming. It came very delayed. And because of that, a lot of difficulty and anxiety it caused me. So I told this executive, you give me your CEO's number. I'm going to speak to your CEO and I'm going to use very some hard words to him. How, what type of executive he keeps? And this executive, he had briefed up his CEO already. Ki, you know, Mr. Sharad is very upset from Bhaktivedanta Hospital. We had done this, this, this. So this executive gave me the CEO's number. So I rang up the CEO. I did my list of hard words. I was going to really speak very heavy words to the CEO. And the company understood that this executive had made a mistake. So when I rang up the CEO, I told him, I'm Mr. Sharad speaking from purchase department from Bhaktivedanta Hospital. As I was going to start my bombardment, immediately that CEO said, sir, I apologize for the behavior of my executive. Please forgive him. Please forgive us also. Next time, we will not make this mistake. When he said that, I didn't know what to speak. Mera jo sab lined up tha na, 8-9 sentences. I really, believe me, I still remember that scenario. I was dumbfounded. I didn't know. Abhi kya bolu usko? Main bola, theek hai, please next time take care. And then I cut the phone. So the thing is, humility works at every level. Okay. And another thing is, opposite of humility is pride. Huh? Opposite of humility is pride. Pride, say in spiritual life, say if you're doing something very nicely, but if you have that pride, it's like compared to like, you know, if you have made 10 kilos of condensed sweet rice, 10 kilos of condensed sweet rice, but in that you mix 1 spoon of sand, so sweet rice ko meaning nahi rehta. The same way, we may be doing very great seva, this seva, that seva, but if we're doing with that pride in the heart, it is like the sweet rice with the sand. Better to remove this pride. Better to fight against this pride. Better to pray to the Lord to remove this pride from our heart. Yeah, and this, like, you know, this pride. It's like if we keep fanning our ego, you know, if we keep on fanning our ego. If we keep fanning our ego in this pride matter, and 100%, ye ego ek din to crush hone wala hai. And by fanning out this pride, the higher we have taken our ego, the day it's crushed, we will fall down very hard. If we have taken a pride, say, if suppose koi 2 feet level pe, and he falls down, he'll get hurt. But if you have fanned out, you go so high and you have gone to 10 feet level, and the material world is going to crush everyone. No one is going to be an exception. When a material pride is going to get crushed, and the higher we are, the greater the fall will be and the greater the pain will be. Better we keep that ego maybe at 2 feet level or maybe 1 feet level. Better to keep it at zero level. Zero level is giring hi nahi na. But then we have to pray to the Lord to help us fight against this ego. Then Chanakya Pandit has said that there are 3 types of blind people. Chanakya Pandit has said that there are 3 types of blind people. 1, blind by birth. 2, blind by lust. 3, blind by pride. What happens that when we want that name, fame, sometimes we get blinded. We sometimes do such things, you know, very abominable things. We do politics and we step on others' head just to get name and fame. So, but we have to again fight this pride tendency in the heart. Either we become humble by our own sweet will or we will become by Krishna's sweet will. if we don't become humble by own sweet will, then by Krishna's will, we'll become humble. See, there are enough people, sometimes because of a competitor, sometimes because of some employees, sometimes a family member. Kabhi na koi to, you know, bombardment milte rehta hai, smashing us. Making us take a humble position. Even though if in this world, you know, because of competitors or our business is going very nice, our family people also very nice, but still, old age. When old age comes, we can't eat properly. You know, our body starts deteriorating. That time our ego will get crushed. Our body, we can't speak properly. We can't see properly. So better we crush our ego, take a humble position right from beginning. Otherwise, in the end of our life, we are going to get crushed either way. So better take a humble position. That humility also means to take guidance. A humble heart is always open to advice. A pride heart thinks, "Arey, main aise sab sort kar deta. Koi bhi problem mere paas leke aa, aise chutki se main solve kar dunga." Kabhi kabhi aise dialogue maarte hain na hum log. Par chutki kya? Aisa time hai agar 10 chutki bhi bajayenge na, problem nahi jayega. Better. We should feel ourselves humble and be ready to take guidance. Taking guidance is a sign of showing humility. And spiritual life also means to have a prayerful mood. A prayerful mood. To the degree we have this quality of humility, to that degree we'll have a prayerful mood. In fact, you see the songs of the Acharyas. In the songbook, when we sing the different songs of Acharya, you see the writings of the Acharyas filled with so much gratefulness, so much prayerful mood. Why is it filled with so much prayerful mood? Because these Acharyas are filled with this quality of gratefulness. They're filled with quality of prayerful mood. They're filled with this quality of humility. And in the end, I will say this last story and we'll end this. It's a very nice story. There's a devotee called Kuver Prabhu. Kuver Prabhu, he was a disciple of Bhakti Tirth Maharaj. So Kuver Prabhu, he was a disciple of Bhakti Tirth Maharaj and he got a terminal disease. But Kuver Prabhu, he had such humility. He had such gratefulness in his heart. When he got this terminal disease, he saw this as a mercy of Krishna. In the middle, what we had discussed, that a grateful heart, a humble and grateful heart, is happy in any situation of life. So Kuver Prabhu was the supreme example. So Kuver Prabhu, when he got this terminal disease, he saw it as a mercy of Krishna. He was grateful in that situation also. And Kuver Prabhu, because of his humility and gratefulness, you know, he attracted people. Towards the end of his life, people would come to meet him. Christian people would come to meet him. Muslim people would come to meet him. Even atheist people would come to meet him. Because of his humility and gratefulness, he attracted them. In fact, some time back, one prostitute somehow came in touch with him, with Kuver Prabhu. Because of Kuver Prabhu's genuine humility and gratefulness, Kuver Prabhu gave so much respect to this prostitute and talked to him in such a way that the prostitute wanted to change herself. She gave up her prostitute business. She took up her work. She started working outside. Then she got married. She had a child. She said she did this just because of Kuver Prabhu. And Kuver Prabhu, when at the last stage of his life, when he was in the end stage, when he was on his deathbed, obviously the devotees were reading from the Gita. The Muslims came. The Muslims were reading from the Quran to him. The Christians also came on his deathbed. And the Christians were reading from the Bible to him. Even the atheists came on his deathbed to offer the respect to Kuver Prabhu. This is the quality. When a person has the quality of humility and gratefulness, he becomes like a touchstone. Kuver Prabhu had become that touchstone. So I will end again. I will end by repeating my earlier statement. Humility means a journey from self-absorption to Krishna absorption. Hare Krishna. Thank you. So, are there any questions? Question? Okay. There's a mic for question or? Okay. Yeah, mic will come.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Okay. First of all, thank you so much for a wonderful lecture. My name is Anil Pandey and I'm from London, not from here. My question is that why can't we change this material world into a spiritual world? Why? Because Prabhupada ji tried a lot, but still no success as of now. And I can see, you know, there are so many temples and so many Swamijis and Maharajs. They all give this Bhagavad Gita lecture and all that. But why can't we change physically this material world into a spiritual world and live happily all together?
Okay.
Why?
Nice question. First of all, I'll add to your this question. Prabhupada, in fact, changed this world to a very great extent. Before Prabhupada, when Prabhupada came, in the West, you know what type of life was there. Prabhupada went to the West. And because of his compassion and love, because of his humility, you know, he changed. Today, all over the world, there are so many centers, so many lakhs of devotees. That wouldn't have been possible if Prabhupada was not there. So, one point that Prabhupada, yes, Prabhupada made a difference to this world. And we are so great today, this temple. If Prabhupada was not there, you think we'd be sitting here? No. So that's one thing. Another thing, to change this, yes, Prabhupada, in fact, Prabhupada's all disciples and grand disciples, all of them are working. In ISKCON, in fact, the type of ISKCON preaching is happening, the preaching which ISKCON is doing, I doubt any other organization doing. Our preachers are going to every place, college, engineering college, medical college, jail mein bhi jaate preach karne ko. All over the places, why they're going? Carrying this Prabhupada's mood of compassion, giving Prabhupada's mercy everywhere. So yes, but we have to understand this is Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga mein everything is against spiritualism, but still, against that negative flow, still the devotees are trying their best and trying to make a difference to this world. Okay? Yes, Prabhuji.
Hello.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
My name is Anshul Khanna. I used to come here around 20 years back when I was doing my engineering.
Okay.
Now I come here with my wife after a long time. I run a business and I come across, I want to be humble, I want to show my humility, but in this business world, we have to somehow, you know, sometimes brag about ourselves. Somehow.
Sometimes what?
You have to brag about yourself.
Brag, okay.
You have to brag about yourself. You have to show how powerful you are. You have to show that I can do so much business in order to get good rates to be able to compete in the market. So, you know, we negotiate with companies abroad to give us, you know, good rates so that we can compete in, you know, because they have other resellers also.
Yes, yes.
So now, when we are doing this, we are not showing humbleness, we are not showing, you know, we are trying to show we are very powerful. Actually, we are not powerful. Lord Krishna is powerful.
Okay.
We are working on behalf of Him.
Yes.
So, am I doing something wrong or how should I be?
Okay. Very nice question, Prabhuji. Now, Arjuna, when he was on the battlefront, Arjuna, pure devotee of the Lord, when he was shooting those arrows, what do you feel? He had this humility in his heart, but he had to take that aggressive position that time. That was the need of the hour. But in his heart, he was most humble. But most important, he understood, I am doing this for Krishna's pleasure. As a service to Krishna, that was his motive intention. So yes, when you're on the outside world, sometimes you have to talk positive about yourself and show this tactics and this and that. But most important, with what consciousness are you doing it? Are you doing it for your own material self-interest or the interest which will come by that, you'll use it in Krishna's service or your devotional service? If you're See, Prabhupada said, we have to do the needful in this material world. This is Kali Yuga, Prabhuji. We have to do the needful in this material world. But if we do with the proper consciousness, obviously, like, you know, I'm also a purchase manager in Bhaktivedanta Hospital. Vendors come, they want to cheat me, they want to give some info. But I have to read between the lines. I have to be at shoot times. But I know the consciousness. I know that each paisa which I save is Krishna's money. Oh, but yes, I talk nicely. I'm not very ruthless in my talking. I talk with dignity. But yes, I am assertive when I have to be assertive. You understand? So yes, most important is that we have to have the right consciousness for why we are doing it. We have to do the needful. But if you are doing it for Krishna's service, like Arjuna, he was shooting those arrows. It was an aggressive stand. But his consciousness was clear. He was doing it as a service to Krishna. So I hope I have answered your question. Okay. Hare Krishna. So it's time up. We will end the class. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.